Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. This is our weekly conversation about everything that matters, our families, our faith, our finances, and, you know, just being able to think about our futures. I'm Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And we have another special guest this week. This month has been all about, you know, it's February, we're feeling love. It's been all about the love. Last week we had Lee Henry with Farm Bureau Insurance. This week we have super agent, realtor extraordinaire, Tina Isom. What are you going by now?
Tina Isom.
Are we going by Tina Isom?
Yes.
All right. Because, I mean, we've had like three or four last names that I've used in the last 3 years.
So. Thanks, Stace.
Yeah, well, no. It's just because she got married. So that's why, yeah. And I used to think it was Isom, and I pronounced your name wrong for years until you finally corrected me. So it's Tina Isom. Welcome.
Thank you.
So good to see you.
So good to see you.
So a lot of things have happened since you and I first met. We met back in 2015.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
It's been a day or two.
It's been a long time. Back in 2015, when the average price of a home for sale in Cumberland County was $127,000.
That's exactly what I was about to guess.
Holy moly. Boy, those were the days. Mm-hmm. Long gone.
Yeah, and that would have been a three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, brand-new construction. Mm-hmm. So today, Miss Tina, where are we with that?
Well, I would say the average cost now is probably in the 300s, I would say. Low 300s, average sales price in Cumberland County.
Wow. Wow. And so now that's what, well, first part is the sales price. And then the second thing is back then we were looking at interest rates of 3%.
Those were the good days.
Now we're looking at a much different price point. So from that perspective, when folks are coming to you, because I know you have a huge repeat clientele. Mm-hmm. So when folks are coming to you and saying, hey, you know, you sold me my house, you know, 10 years ago, back in 2015, what can I buy now? Where do we even start?
Right. So when the interest rate was low, it was super easy. It was like taking candy from a baby. So those people that we'd sold to 2 and 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or even longer than that, they're able to make a good $100,000 profit on their homes with really not putting any money into them. And then you could sell them another house. And even with the inflated prices, they were still making great deals because the rates were so cheap. Their payments were as low or less than they were before. And we were able to get them out the door with a good chunk of money in their pockets. But with the higher interest rates, that's not the case anymore. So a lot of folks we're seeing are kind of sitting still at the time because they can't replace what they have from what they bought, you know, 3 to 5 years ago or, you know, even more.
Exactly. And, you know, before we go on too far, I want to let's just take a second and think about that, because what that means is it's part of the issue in the housing realm right now. It's like, oh, there's not enough supply. There's not enough supply. There's not enough supply. Well, there's not enough supply, but a big reason why there's not enough supply, it's not like all of a sudden there's a whole lot more people on earth. It's because things are not turning over, right?
Right.
You know, people are sitting in their houses for what you said, because it will cost them more to leave the interest rate that they have. And they can't buy their dream house at the interest rate and, you know, or how much money they're going to get take out for the loan. So there's not a churn. And that is a huge key point in real estate, is the churn.
That's right. You know, and not only are the rates higher, everything is higher. So when you're looking at new constructions, the price of new constructions, you know, your materials are much higher. And then you look at escrows. A lot of the taxes are higher, but definitely the insurance is also higher, which I'm sure, you know, we're talking right. To Lith Lee, you know, that's probably came up. So
we're kind of entering a world of more perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And the sweet few years that we had were, number one, not normal.
Right.
Number two, not normal. And number three, not normal. And the reality is today is really more normal in interest rate. 3% was a fabulous thing.
Absolutely.
But it was it was false. Yeah. And it was just a snapshot in time. And that is not normal. And now more the 6, the 7 in history is more of a normal rate. But we are not ready to live in that world.
Right. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, well, the rates are still pretty good. They're still pretty, and they're not terrible. But what you're looking at, you know, they'll say, oh, well, in the 80s, you know, we paid 18%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the 80s, the average sales price was $40,000. So when you're coupling the inflated prices along with the higher interest rates, it makes a lot of folks not able to purchase.
That's right. So let's take a few minutes and, you know, with your in your expertise from the real estate market and realtor market, there's been a lot of things in addition to this that are kind of coming to play in here. But what do you see? What are you foretelling? What is your industry telling you? How do we need to be thinking as we move forward?
Well, as far as sellers go, you know, the sellers that have to sell, they're going to sell. The key for sellers is to put the right price on their property, to find that sweet spot, to not overprice. You know, you don't want to underprice your home and leave money on the table. But if you overprice, there's a good chance you're going to sit. You're going to sit on the market. As far as buyers go, you know, you have to find the programs, like you guys offer great programs, that will work for those buyers. You have a lot of buyers that can't buy any other way,
right?
You know, due to income and debt ratios and interest rates. Mm-hmm. So you guys offer great programs that allow many people to be homeowners that can't be homeowners any other way.
So I have a friend, and his mom passed away. She had a condo in Florida, and he's trying to sell the condo. And one of the things that I mentioned to him was the difference between what he thinks his condo is going to be selling for and the list price and the turnover. So it was put on the market back in November, and there have been no showings.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep coming back to him with, you need to be talking to your realtor about a price adjustment. And it's so hard to get that through his head because this, because that, but. But if your house is not selling, there's a reason. And what's that reason?
Price or condition. And price will fix condition every time. So
explain that. Price will fix condition. What does that mean?
So either, you know, if your house is not selling and you're not having any showings, why is that? What have the comparable properties telling me from properties that are very similar to mine that have sold 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago? What's the market telling me? When we're looking at comparable properties, just like an appraiser does, we're looking at history to tell us what the market's doing. And you're also looking at active listings as well. What's my competition look like? If you have a house that needs some work, you know, it's going to be less, obviously, than a house that's in pristine condition that's move-in ready. So price will always fix condition. If you have some issues, price will fix that.
Okay, so assuming now that my house is in pristine condition and you're going to give me some advice as to what you think that my house is going to sell for. But I'm going to say, you know what? I appreciate you. You're my realtor. But nah, I need more money. So where do we go?
Well, we all need more money, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get it from the buyer of your house. You know, you have to price it for what it's worth, not what you wish it was worth, or it's not going to sell.
Yeah, you know, we get so – we had a client not long ago who decided he was the a real estate expert, and he knew all things when it came to the market. And so he was just convinced that the rates were going to come down and refused to lock in a rate. So, yeah, would you like to guess whether or not those rates came down?
I would say they didn't.
No, they didn't. They didn't. But it's, you know, everybody's an expert and everybody should be educated, and it is your property and it is a really big decision. But you know, I love the statement of price fixes condition. And I think all that's also related to, it just depends on if you really want to sell your house.
Right.
And how
right.
quickly you need to sell your house or want to sell your house.
I think it's very important to, if you're going to get ready to list your house, you need to get with a full-time agent, because I think that it's important for us that do it full time, we have our finger on the pulse, you know? And so if you're not actively doing this every single day, it's hard to know what the market is doing, you know? And I keep thinking, it's always like you have to have your finger on the pulse or you get lost.
I think that's also very important when you're looking at buying a home, particularly if you're a first-time home buyer. I know that there were some rule changes last year that took place, and, you know, a lot of people were kind of freaking out, but that's, you know, about commissions and things like that. But that seems to have all kind of worked itself out in the wash. But the question that I get a lot as a lender from the lending perspective is, do I need a realtor? What is that realtor going to do for me? Tina? Because we've done a lot of deals together. Why don't you explain what a realtor is going to take care of for me who works full time, that I'm not in my house because I'm out working. So I can do this. I can sell my own house, right? I can buy a house on my own. What are you going
to
do?
Well, there's a lot of legal aspects, too, to selling your house. And so not that realtors are attorneys, but, you know, we have state drafted forms that are, you know, that all the attorneys for the state, the Real Estate Commission, have reviewed and approved. So not only the legal aspect, but there's also repairs, inspections, lots of things, lots of moving parts, title insurance, title searches, how this is all going to kind of look. If it's not something that you do on a normal basis, as far as a seller goes, if you're not selling a few houses a year at least, you don't really know what the process is, and buyers and sellers can kind of get stalled out on their deals if they don't know how to facilitate.
If I'm from the buyer or seller standpoint, you know, talk about a little bit about the protections. Again, you're not an attorney, but what protections does that provide me? What am I getting for my money, my commission money?
So what are you doing? What are you doing that I couldn't maybe do on my own? I think we're needing some clarity, Miss Lindy.
Okay. Not necessarily what I'm doing on my own. I'm just a person wanting to buy a house. So, you know, if I call a realtor, like you said, what can you do for me that I can't necessarily do for myself if I just start calling people to look at their houses? Because you do a lot,
right?
You know, you take a lot of the load off of the buyer and the seller. So talk a little bit about that,
right? So
you earn your money.
We're going to make sure that your contract is as clear as it can be. Title insurance is going forward. Title searches are going forward to make sure there's no liens on the property. And then as far as surveys, inspections, to help these sellers and buyers to do their due diligence on all the aspects of the purchase that maybe a lot of people don't realize that need to be done. And then working through those repairs from the inspections, what professionals need to come in. So when you have an agent that's done it for a long period of time, a lot of us have seen pretty much everything, or we think we have anyways.
Yeah, I had a friend that, and you know this story, they went to sell their house in Seattle a couple years ago, and they decided that they were going to go through an agency that was an online kind of thing. They gave them an app, and they could, you know, cut their commission by, like, you know, 3% if they did this themselves, right? But the problem that they had was that now they were the ones that had to facilitate the showings.
Right.
They were the ones that had to do all the scheduling. They were the ones that had to do all of this due diligence. And at the end of the day, their question is, why did we pay a realtor? And I said, exactly. If you're working full time, how are you going to effectively market and sell your house? I know, and it's not just you. There's many great agents here in Cumberland County that we work with. And I see the agents that are going out and they're taking professional pictures of the homes and posting them on the different sites. They're going out and they're doing the front work to make sure that, you know, like you're talking about with title. Title is so important that you have clean title and ownership to that property. Here in Cumberland County, what we see a lot are those Medicare liens because our Social mm-hmm. Security. So you've got to make sure that there's not going to be something that's going to pop up at the last minute and destroy your deal.
Or even years down the road, mm-hmm. you know, after you already own the property. You know, one thing we can reach so many people. I'm a member of 5 different multiple listing services. So, you know, we're marketing to so many people that are going to see this house. Another thing, too, is we're vetting these buyers before they come into your house. So we're not allowing strangers to come in. We are having pre-approved buyers, pre-qualified. We're seeing the proof of funds before we ever let them in your house. We're a for sale by owner. They have no idea who these people are that they're letting in.
So explain to me a minute from a realtor perspective about the pre-approval and why that's important.
It's huge. So that is the key to get in for me. So if a buyer has to get financing, if they're not pre-qualified, if they've not talked to a lender, we're not going anywhere, because that buyer doesn't know, for one, what kind of payments they would be looking at, what are they qualified, what are they able to purchase. So you have no idea of price range. If I take you in and you say, you know, I think I can buy a $500,000 house, and I take you to look at $500,000 houses, and then when you get pre-qualified, you're approved for $200,000, you're going to hate every single $200,000 house I can show you. You know, so you have
exactly
to get pre-qualified
right first.
You know,
realistic expectations are important in the buying and selling of houses. That is for sure. You were talking about the pricing it right from the seller side, making sure that you price the house right. To get it sold quickly. But what about, I'd like to hear you talk about the side from the buyer side and making the offer right. You know, here at Clinch Powell, we build houses, we sell houses, we help people with home loans and get into houses. So we see both sides. But there is really important thoughts on both sides. So talk about that one, and then I'll give a little story to illustrate.
So whenever I'm working with a buyer and we are looking at making an offer on a house, I'm doing the same thing as I'm doing for a seller. So I'm pulling comps on this house to see what is history telling me, current history, what is it telling me, what's the, just the same as an appraiser goes. Because with this person that's financing, this buyer who's financing, they're going to have to go through the appraisal process as well. And so I don't want to set my buyer up to, you know, pay for inspections and all these things and appraisals, and it come up short. And if it does come up short, do I have ammo to fight with? You know, so we're doing the same things when we list as we are with a buyer, just to make sure that the value is there. And there may be a house that's overpriced, and we may make a lower offer, but I want the listing agent to know where I've arrived at that price. You know, you don't want to go in insulting a seller, but if this is what the market's telling me this house is worth, then that's what we're going to offer.
Well, after you do that work and your buyer says, no, I don't want to pay that. You know, say the house is listed for $260. I want to offer $220.
Well, our buyer, you know, all we can do is educate them. We have to present what the buyer asks us to do. So I can't say, no, I'm not going to do that, or you're wrong. I can tell them this is what it's worth. This is what the market's telling me it's worth. But if they want me to go in with a lower price, then that's what I have to do.
Exactly. You do have to do that. But still, it's important to say, you know, is that reasonable?
Right.
So here's my story just recently. We have a house for sale, and it had such extensive renovations. It's basically like a new house. And so, like you said, you know, our realtor had done all the work to determine what the market was telling her that a fair sales price would be. So that's what we listed it at. But the offer was listed at $269, but the offer came in at $215 plus wanting $12,000 in closing costs. And they had a pre-approval letter. And while that's really important to be able to get in a house, like you said, their pre-approval letter was for a whole lot less than the house, whole lot less than the house was listed at. So, number one, they shouldn't have been able to get in the house.
Right.
Number one. But number two, the reality is that pre-approval letters are not always done on what you truly can qualify for. Many times they're usually, they can be done for, it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to offer 220 on this house. And oh, magically you'll get a pre-approval letter, because that's all you asked to be pre-approved for,
right,
was the 220. Right? Do you see that also?
So I actually do that as well. You know, I'll, if my buyer is approved for $900,000 and he's looking at houses that are $500,000, I don't want my $500,000 seller to know that we can go much higher. So a lot of times I'll either have the lender change that approval amount to correspond with the house that we're looking at, or I'll black it out. You know, because you don't want to put all your cards on the table either.
And those pre-approvals, I mean, let's be honest, right? If I'm issuing as a loan officer, if I'm issuing a pre-qual or a pre-approval, chances are I have not seen their credit. I have not seen their financials other than what they're telling me at that point, which is why if you read those letters, they will say subject to verification of X, Y, Z, D, B, C. I mean, you know, it's almost sometimes it's not worth the paper it's written on. I mean, we'll just be honest. However, the reality is that 90% of the time when my clients are saying that this is what my financials look like, they are correct,
right,
on it. But that doesn't mean it's 100%
of
the time. And then the other thing that I think is really important that Lindy touched on is the closing costs. You know, when we're looking at a buyer that needs closing costs, you know, okay, well, I want to offer $20,000 less than the sales price. Plus, I want to offer, you know, I want them to pay $20,000 of my closing costs. They're not realizing that they just hacked that seller's net by $40,000.
That's right. And I tell sellers a lot, the highest offer is not always the best offer, right? So you may have a lower offer that might be $5,000 difference with it, but it's cash and no contingencies. So the highest offer is not always the best offer.
Right. But what Stacey's, you know, saying is the bottom line is the number that ends up mattering. Like in a little example, I said they went $12,000 towards closing, plus they wanted, you know, on top of that to pay their buyer's realtor fee as well. So it's not always cut and dry, basically what we're always saying, and like stands too on the pre-approval, you know, the amount of loan that you ultimately can qualify for also depends on what the price of the property insurance and the homeowner's insurance, and that has a huge effect on how much loan you can qualify for. So it does seem confusing and complicated, because it is confusing and complicated. And so, you know, that's kind of what we're hitting at here, you know, is that a professional, a knowledgeable professional is a really valuable and important person to have on your team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and not every deal, you know, every deal is going to be different,
yeah,
you know.
Ain't that the truth? And when we get those calls, you know, and everyone will ask, you know, people will ask, well, you know, do I really need a realtor? Yeah, honestly, in my personal opinion, yes, you do.
Absolutely.
I would not buy or sell a house personally without a realtor, and I haven't, because I'm not an expert in real estate. I know financing, but, you know, as far as all those contracts, and it is a legally binding contract, so, yeah, that I don't feel personally comfortable. However, the correct answer is no, you don't have to have a realtor. However, I recommend that you talk to some folks and see what that would add to your experience, and then you can make the decision for yourself. For me, it's so important that we understand that, you know, we can't say, use this person, use that person, do this, do that. It's your loan. It's your home. If you choose to go the route of contracting with a realtor, that person is the quarterback for your team.
Right.
You know, I may be the running back running the financing, but your realtor, man, that's going to be the one that's really making the calls.
I mean, it's a team. I mean, it's a team thing. And so It is your agent, as an agent, it is my job to take the stress off my client, you know, right? So, you know, years ago, you and I, actually, we worked this deal together, and the girl was a nurse, and she was just full of questions, and so she sent a lot of texts and a lot of calls towards me to ask me what was kind of going on, and she was always apologizing. I said, don't apologize. This is my job. It is my job to keep you informed of what is going on, and I don't expect her to know as a first-time home buyer. I don't expect her to know the process. And I told her, I said, you know, I can't go to the hospital and start an IV on somebody because that's not what I do,
right.
You know. So I don't expect my clients to know. It's my job to help them, to, you know.
And the vast majority at the time, whatever, it's the biggest decision, mm-hmm. biggest for sure financial
right.
purchase they've ever made and may ever make. So, you know, it's a big deal. And you want to make sure you got people that you trust involved. So I have a question for you. Let's say if I were a home buyer and I don't have an agent myself, but I'll go on Zillow or Realtor.com or any other number of sites, and there's a house I want to look at. How do I actually look at that?
So if you are a buyer and you do not want to use an agent, then you're going to have to call the listing agent to get into the property. I mean, that would be your only avenue.
Right. So there's there's always a gatekeeper. And for people who sell houses like us, that's really important because, you know, you don't want people just having the ability to go through your house. You know, it's like if something were to happen. And sometimes, you know, logically, you may go through turning on lights because you want to. You need to make sure they all work. You want to flush toilets. You want to make sure these things work. Well, if something happens to get left on, you know, from a seller standpoint, you want to know who to say, okay, who left the lights on or who left the water running or whatever.
Right. You know, and from a seller standpoint, you know, I see a lot of open houses. Right now we're seeing a lot of open houses. We've not seen that much in the past because, you know, it's been a seller's market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would be, if we weren't in multiple offers in their first 24 hours, we wondered why. But now we're seeing more open houses. And I think I have a different thought process on the open houses than a lot of agents do. So me personally, I would never allow an open house at my personal house because we're allowing unvetted people to walk through this house. We don't know what their intentions are, you know. We don't know who they are or you know, they're just walking through. So, you know, from a seller standpoint, that is not something I would allow. And I don't like to do those. If a seller wants me to host an open house, I will. But it's not something that I recommend. So
true. We don't have much time left, but I would feel remiss if I don't ask this. And that is kind of about the current market and where it feels like it's going. So if I am someone who's thinking about selling my house, you know, is the market softening? So houses are not going to keep going up. Could this be a good time to think about selling?
Well, I think in this area, our market is still fairly strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're seeing more houses. It's a little bit longer of a time on market. We're looking at average days on the market of being around 28 in Cumberland County at this point.
Still good, yeah.
So, but we still have a lot of people moving here. It's a desirable area mm-hmm. to live. People get bang for their buck, even though Cumberland County prices are higher than even our surrounding areas. Cookeville, Knoxville, mm-hmm. we're higher price per square foot here. But you get a lot of bang for your buck for your the cost of living is still low. It's $29 to tag your car with no emissions, no inspections. So I think Cumberland County, our market is still good. Now, as the rates if the rates start to trend down, which hopefully they will, maybe even get us into the fives this year would be nice. But I think our market is still strong. And I think as far as sellers goes, if the house is priced where it needs to be, it will sell.
So how do we reach you, Tina? How do I get a hold of you to come and look at my house? Or maybe if I'm interested in interviewing an agent to represent me.
So you can always check out our website at ijrealty.com or call into our office line at 931-994-0022.
And we are so fortunate that
you know, you are one of the hardest working agents. We've got some amazing agents here in Cumberland County, and I know a lot of them have actually been mentored through you. So I appreciate the work that you do, not just, you know, to work with our clients, but I know that you're out there working with other agents and other agencies and educating them about some of the Clinch Pal program. So we appreciate that for you being a cheerleader for us as well.
I appreciate you guys.
So find us online at clinchpal.net. You can reach me 865-274-8598 or stace@clinchpal.net. That's it for this week. Until next week, this is Dollars and Cents on WAEW. Have a great week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.